Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of The Good Glow, our first ever bonus episode. You know, myself and Nicola had such a great chat about her life, her relationship with Paul Moody, how she survived coercive control. But Nicola has also survived stage 4 breast cancer twice. And I am fascinated with this part of her story. And as we were chatting, she said so many people have reached out to her and asked her to discuss her cancer journey. So I thought it might be helpful for anyone else going through something similar for us to have a 20-minute chat about all she went through. Although I had stage 2 cancer and Nicola had stage 4, we had many similar feelings. Now, this absolutely goes without saying, but I will say it anyway. We are both huge believers and advocates of chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and following our doctor's orders to a T. And this podcast is in no way aimed at giving anyone any advice. So please always consult with your doctor and your team, especially if you are considering any new therapies. As always, we love to hear from you after you listen. So I have left links in the show notes. Nicola, thank you so much for just taking, we're just going to, for a couple of minutes, talk about cancer. I don't know if you've seen that show on Netflix about the girl that made up that she had a cancer diagnosis.
No, I didn't watch it.
The number one show on Netflix at the moment. I was watching it over the weekend and I was so triggered by so much of it that I'm finding it really hard to watch and I don't know if I'm going to continue. So it's about this girl and she basically said that she had stage 4 cancer, a terminal brain tumor, and she cured herself with diet only.
Okay.
And so, you know, the two of us have been through chemo, been through every sort of treatment. And I remember when Professor Arnie Hill said to me, I have a plan for you, trust me. I was like, I will do whatever he tells me to do. So I think I can speak on behalf of both of us by saying we fully believe in chemotherapy, radiotherapy and following the doctor's orders.
Absolutely. To me, absolutely. I think, like, they're absolute. When you go up to chemotherapy wards and you meet the nurses, the doctors, the team of people, it takes special people, I think, and really passionate people to work with sick people, because it's very, very sad. And it's so sad giving people diagnosis like what I've had and other people, that all the different people I've met. So absolutely, I think the medicine is changing all the time. And I think, like, the research, I love hearing all the different stuff that's happening. Even I was up there in January and, like, I could see beautiful ladies with the bandanas on their heads. And, like, I don't take it for granted whatsoever. Like, I honestly don't, especially because mine came back the second time. So the first time I felt like I was so lucky. And then the second time, so I do be afraid to say it out loud. I think it's so funny when everybody asks me now. Well, actually, people just are afraid to ask me, I think. But at the moment, I am safe and there is no cancer in my body. But I just don't take it for granted and I don't go around singing it from the rooftops, because it's happened me twice. And like yourself, Georgie, that you sit in that waiting area and you're waiting on your scan results. You do feel, firstly, you don't take life for granted, but you do feel it's like, would you say, it's very harsh to say this, but it's like a death sentence when you get diagnosed, because that C word is horrific to hear. And we live every day praying to God that it'll never come back. And it took a long time for me to actually believe I was actually going to be alive now. It's like, God, I'm actually alive. I'm going to get to stay alive. Will I ever wake up every day and keep thinking of cancer? Will I have to keep every day, like, worrying about cancer? And I stopped for a while the first time. What about you? Do you still wake up feeling like...
No, like, not every day, but it's like it's tattooed in my brain. So, like, if I wake up in the middle of the night, sometimes I think it's because I found my lump in the middle of the night. So I will wake up and go, I had cancer. Ah! Like, it's, all encompassing. And those moments are few and far between now, thank God, but it still definitely happens to me. So the first 33 pages of your book are how you underwent chemotherapy, but all of the other things that you did along with your treatment. Can you tell us a little bit about, because it became a full-time job for you?
Absolutely, it did. It was just like, but look, it's all saved my life. So basically, I was doing green juicing and I was alkaline in my body.
Okay.
So I was just reading everything there was to know, research in America, everything. And I found out cannabisol can eat cancer. But at the time, at the very first time, I didn't have a child to look after. So it was easier for me then. It's a very difficult thing to do. And then I was doing a half a tray a day of wheatgrass.
And where did you get it from?
My family were growing the wheatgrass.
Okay.
And then at times we had to buy, you could buy it in Super Value, you could buy it in a farmyard, like different places, like, and then you could, I was doing natural remedies. I was going to healers, and, but this was just, this wasn't all happening together. This was like why one thing would lead me to the next thing.
Yeah.
And the church, I'm a massive believer. I have faith. That's what kept me alive. I still to this day think my fate has kept me alive. What about you? Have you got?
So I believe in a higher power, but, and I definitely prayed for my life when I needed to, you know, in those moments. And you're like, oh, Jesus, am I a hypocrite? Because I'm blessing myself and praying for my life now. But I definitely, I got a message. I did a podcast with Jerry and we were talking about God, and then someone got in touch and was like, this is so refreshing, because it's like no one can talk about it anymore. And, you know, people might hide their faith under a pillow.
I think people,
you know,
are afraid to actually say it, because I'm not a Bible basher. Like, I just leave everybody. I love Buddha. I have everything in my house.
Yeah.
And I love all religions. But I definitely, me personally, I do believe in God, and that's my thing, and I think I'm allowed to believe that. And even to write it in the book, you know, you think there's people out there that don't believe, but I'm only talking from my perspective and my story and my belief. So I think everyone to their own.
Yeah.
It's lovely if you believe in something, but I think the most important thing is to believe in yourself.
Yeah. So you were really looking after your diet. Were you drinking loads of water?
Loads of water a day. Like the amount of juices, like, oh my God, all day long was juices. Like, I obviously you get better at it as well, because obviously, you know, you're trying to keep everything, all the nutrients into your body as well. Like, obviously, I gave up sugar. Now, it was all so difficult because, trust me, I love everything. So it was so hard. But when I realised, when I was putting something in my mouth one day, I remember thinking, why would I feed this? And I just remember putting it back down. So to me, I think like food is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I personally do think that. And I have heard that like humans are supposed to eat from the earth, everything that grows in the ground.
Yeah.
Even though we all love meat and everything, like, well, I'm the same, like, who doesn't? But a lot of people don't. But what about yourself?
Yeah, so I continue to eat meat through chemo. Like, I never Googled anything. This was, you know, my journey was just so, like, I was so fearful of everything. And 2017, like, I just felt like I wasn't that educated in it. And it was only in my recovery that I became healthier and healthier. But I do remember the first thing that I felt like I could control when I knew that there was cancer in my body was becoming hydrated. Like, I felt like the only thing I could do for myself really was to drink water. I suppose as the years have passed, now I realize it's like mind, body and spirit, and the stress and the healers and praying and all the things that you did. It is a kind of full circle thing, isn't it? So tell us then. So you did a lot of work on removing stress from your body as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I definitely think I worked too much. I think I was waiting to meet someone and I'll stop working, because I liked getting a new car or whatever it was, going on nice holidays and stuff as well. So I definitely think, I remember I actually had never been for a walk on the beach on my own. Can you believe that? I thought I needed somebody, a partner, to actually go for a walk on the beach. So until I got sick.
Oh my God, I don't think I'd ever done that either.
Yeah. until I got sick. I remember driving my car out to the beach, and like I actually couldn't even walk. My legs couldn't even walk to on the beach. And I just remember then I got to the beach the next time, and then I was watching a girl run on the beach, and I remember saying, why did I stop running all them years? I used to love running. And I remember then, I think I remember thinking, okay, when I'm okay, I'm going to start running again. So it was nearly like all these little steps. But I definitely think it's a journey, as much as it's like, I heard a girl, my friend brought me to meet this lovely lady, our auntie, and she had been through breast cancer. And she said to me, she found God from being sick. And she said to me that she's delighted she got cancer because it's changed her whole life. And I hadn't even started chemotherapy or anything yet. I was in despair. And I thought, she must be nuts. She must have had a crap life. Like, I love my life. Like, my life is amazing. Like, and stuff. I was like, but I didn't get it, what she meant. And obviously now, I don't think I'll ever, ever put my hands up and say, I'm glad I have cancer, because I don't think I could possibly, because it was really tough.
Yeah.
But I've learned so much stuff, all the other side, all the beauty in the world would have passed me by because I was so busy working, and I wouldn't have ever got to experience it until maybe I retired or something like that. So I love, like, to me, at the flowers the first year were so much brighter.
Yeah.
Everything in the world that I didn't even really see properly. Did you feel like that?
Yeah. I felt like I had a brain transplant, because everything I looked at was different. And I remember, obviously, like you said, when you're in the thick of it, you're like, this is going to take my... I remember being really upset that I felt like it was going to take my humor away, because I used to laugh at everything. Yeah. I still do now, thankfully. I just stopped laughing for a while. But I remember just being real concerned about that. Like, but I laugh harder now because I think I love myself. And it's almost like I have... Now that I love myself more, I can make the jokes that I always wanted to make and have confidence.
Yeah.
You know, I don't just laugh at people. I laugh at myself now as well. There was do I say this? Okay, I'll be really honest. I read a few comments that implied that I never shut up about cancer, or that I was using it to my advantage, and that broke me. Like, that really... So last week I put back into my bio breast cancer survivor after probably 3 years of it not being there. And it's not that I was ashamed of it, but I just felt like embarrassed that I was proud of it, that I was proud that I was a survivor. And I think I've done a 180, and I'm back to not actually hiding my story, or, you know, it's okay. It's okay. It's like what you said, you know, it's sometimes it's humiliating for you, you know, for that to have been your story with Paul and things like that. And I think I was a bit ashamed or something, because I felt like people were twisting it the wrong way. So I removed that part of my story from my life. But now I'm back talking about it.
And to me, I wouldn't know you. Like, when I was in such a bad place, I'd actually probably come through my cancer situation, because I was 2017. And when I found you, you were the only person, like, I didn't know anyone that was talking about cancer. Mm. And I'd been through it, and I was young at the time also, and I was looking at this gorgeous girl full of life and is being so brave to talk about something that I was ashamed to talk about at one stage, because I didn't want to be judged or be known as a sick person. Yeah. I never be that girl who I always was. But you shown me, I wanted to be braver, and I thought, yeah, this is happening so much, and yet it's not a bad thing, because I'm sitting here today and I wanted to be on your podcast. Like, to me, it's not just because we've something in common. We've had to face something that these type of people will never know, the pain and how scared it is to be told that you could die.
Yeah.
And to, for us, we are, I love laughing, you love laughing. I can see we're both, we would love, I just don't, we won't even want this conversation to end because the crack we're having, it's not, I don't feel this is a sad conversation. It's very sad for me to hear that people have made you feel like that and in all that you've gone through and the how brave you've been and that you've helped me. You've helped me because when I got it back the second time, I looked up to you. And you don't even know the inspiration and the feeling and how much you helped me on so many bad days. So I'm so glad we're doing this today because the amount of women that we're going to help, and who cares the people, if they don't understand cancer, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because they don't, they never will. And hopefully they never will. They'll never have to. Because until you're touched with it, but we are so grateful. And we're probably the happiest people you'll ever meet. And that don't take life for granted. Because we have been, unfortunately, touched with cancer.
Yeah, thank you so much for saying that. And you know what, that's how I felt over the last while. I was like, I'm making myself small. I'm not using my voice to help people like I used to because it's almost been bullied out of me.
But I think I'm going to actually put it on my page now. And I'm going to be, you're making me be brave today because I never even thought to do that. Because, like... But yet your story, can you imagine the amount of women, because like you were the only person that I knew doing this.
Mm.
And I remember thinking, she is so brave. Like, I am not as brave as you. I honestly was like, whoa. I felt I was as strong as you, but I didn't know whether I was as brave as you. But now I'm like, now I'm as brave as Georgie because from watching you, you've given me that.
And that's our mission now. Like, we've been chosen to speak and help people, and yeah, thank you for reminding me of that, because sometimes and it's really scary for me to say it loud on the podcast as well, because it's definitely something I've just hidden over the last while. So are you now, like, so you're cancer free now, are you still a health nut?
I'm not as bad, I have to say, because I do look after myself. Like, I go for high dose vitamin C down in Portlaoise, and I do look after myself, and I take all my vitamins. Like, I get all my vitamins over in Bangkok and stuff. I do take all that. Like, I look after myself, but I wouldn't say trying to go to work and everything else. I'd be lying if I said I made juices every single day. I wish to God I had the time. But I do my best. I take my wheatgrass shots. I take my beetroot shots. I take all my different stuff that I can take.
Every day.
I try my best. But that's what I'm saying. I don't give myself a hard time. I live my life. I used to live it that I was punishing myself.
Yeah.
Now I don't. Now I want to have a glass of wine. I don't eat cream cakes. I didn't have a birthday cake for years because it's full of sugar. Because I choose if I want to have a glass of wine or a cocktail with my friend. So that's who I want to be. And I'm not afraid to say that. And it's like, I want to live a normal life and a good life. But I take care of myself as equal.
Yeah.
As in, because I want to stay alive because I love life.
So, Nicola, I have a job for you then, if you are willing. Can you on your Instagram link how you make your juices or put up some sort of video or highlight about your juicing and or share where you get them from?
Okay, I will absolutely do that because I am a little bit shy and I want to help people so much. But as much as people think I'm brave, things like this, I am a little bit shy. I could talk to anybody, but things like that. But if I will, I actually should do it because I really do want to help others. So I will definitely make an effort and try to do that. Yeah, definitely.
Because you did say that, like, so many people are coming to you about the cancer stuff. They've read your book and they want more from you on
juice and everything. Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I'm really happy to do that. I really love sharing, and especially people, because I know what it feels like. And I, as I say, I will never take it for granted. I count my blessings, and I love helping anybody to get in touch with me. I would have loved to ask anybody to help me at the time. So anybody, please get in touch with me and I will gladly help anybody out there. Yeah.
Okay, brilliant, Nicola. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been such a pleasure.
Oh, I think we can all agree that Nicola is such a special person and is
changing lives with her story. So grateful to her. So grateful to you for tuning in. I hope if you are going through a tough time that this podcast gave you a little bit of hope. Our DMs are always open, as Nicola said. We love chatting to people, so don't be shy in getting in touch. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can leave us a little rating and a review. And a huge thanks to Electrocell for all the support this season. I'll talk to you over the weekend.